Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. Yes, this is the DL Link show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Before we get started, always excited to talk about the wonderful Jerusalem Marathon, because if you are wanting to make a big difference, then the Jerusalem Marathon is calling, because you get to run through the stunning streets of Jerusalem and you get to honor a warrior with every step that you take. So it's not just a race, it's a chance to uplift lives, to bring hope to those who need it most. But you need to hurry. The chase is on for the big day. It's happening on the 4th of April. And flights are extremely limited. Spots are filling fast. So you don't want to miss out if it's something you want to do. So visit the DL Link website, www.dllink.co.za today. Be a part of something truly life-changing. So the Jerusalem Marathon, really about running with purpose and changing lives. So together we go the distance and we get to support our warriors. So that's the DL Link website. And I'm very excited to introduce our first guest today. Karel Pietfanieren is a breast cancer warrior. He's also a doctor of ethnomedicine, of ethnopsychology. He's a certified integrative medicine practitioner, a neurolinguistic and life coach practitioner. And he helps a lot of people also on their journey. He helps people who heal other people. And also everyone goes through issues. And as he says on his website, which I really, really love, his is a life of service. As a coach and practitioner and guide and counselor, whatever term. It's all about making life bearable for his fellow human beings. So we are delighted to have Karel Pietfanieren on the show today. CP, welcome. Lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. It's always lovely to chat to the people here.
So, you know, there's so many questions running through my mind, because we want to hear your story. And then, of course, the amazing work that you do, how you were able to apply it to yourself and how you help others. There's such a misnomer that only women get breast cancer, right? And you're a 2x breast cancer survivor, warrior. Tell us a little bit more about your story, CP.
So, gosh, it's about 15 years ago. I felt a lump in my breast, and I had met a wonderful doctor, Dr. Craig Golding, just before that, and he sent me for a thermogram. Men, of course, can't go through. Well, they can now do mammograms. At that time, it was a very, very restricted test, and so I went for the thermogram. Fine needle aspiration and premalignant tumor. I was very, very lucky both times that we caught it very early. So it had not completely developed into malignancy, but it was going to do so. And cut it out. Did quite a bit of therapy 15 years ago. And then 5 years ago, it came back. Because life happens and you stop taking care of yourself. And oftentimes what we do is once cancer is gone, you just pick up life where you left it, and you forget that there are things that you can do practically to help your body not get it again, or to fight it if it does come back.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And I love what you said, because life happens and you stop taking care of yourself. And I think that is very, very true. Let's go back. Let's go back to the fact that you were able to find these lumps. They were pre-malignant tumors. You caught them early. We're talking about breast cancer. And I suppose without having a breast like a woman has with all the tissue, it's, I suppose it's much easier to feel it when it's right? When it's at its early stages. But I wonder how many men, and that's why one of the many reasons why this is such an important conversation, because I have had men breast cancer warriors on the show before. And interestingly, when they have found the lump, they've done nothing about it. Because, you know, it's a lump and, well, they don't get lumps and it's odd and it's strange. And so maybe we can just talk about that. I mean, you know, women should have, they should do their own self-check, you know, regularly, once a month. We've spoken about that before. But what about men? Let's talk about the fact that you could feel a lump. And when should you be concerned? How, if the lump feels a certain way, should there be a concern if it's a certain way as opposed to another? If my question has been clear enough.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. I can just maybe start by saying that the prevalence of male breast cancer is rising at an alarming rate, unfortunately. And a big reason for that is all of the hormone disruptors that we get in our pesticides. Also, so many women are on the pill and they urinate estrogen and it's not taken out of our drinking water.
Gosh.
And so we are bombarded with estrogen and hormone disruptors continuously. And some of us, myself included, have genetic predispositions to hormonal cancer, which then means you pull the trigger. So that's, yeah, men with breast cancer is not a funny thing. Interestingly enough, my medical aid refused to pay for the operation because they said that exact same thing. Men don't get breast cancer. That was an interesting comment to get with a tumor.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely horrific. And I will come back to it. Carry on. I don't want to interrupt you. Carry on.
No worries. And so, yeah, the prevalence is more. And for me, I used to train in martial arts. So I was used to my body. And when there's a change, you become aware of that. I would just say, if you do feel a lump, have it checked out. It could be gynecomastia. It could be just a deposit that grows. They feel, to me, the exact same way. And so without testing, you don't necessarily know. So I would rather on the side of caution and make sure that it's nothing to be really worried about. So what I did, you mentioned that men don't then necessarily go for the tests. The second time I got the tumor, I ignored it for a whole year because I knew the process and I wasn't willing to go for the fine needle aspiration. Having a needle poked through your nipple is extremely painful. And they can't give you a local anesthetic because it's just as painful to give the local than to do the test. So I hid it from everybody for a whole year. My family was quite upset with me when it came out, but it is what it is. So men don't, you know, you don't want to be sick. And so oftentimes you ignore what's right in front of your eyes.
Thanks, CP. You know, I think that so many people listening can relate, right? You there's the lump, there's the drip. I mean, you're talking about something very painful, but it's painful physically and painful emotionally.
Yes.
You know, what it could be, what the doctor may say to you. And so I appreciate you saying, you know, and certainly expressing that on the show, because I think that there are people right now who are listening, who perhaps have felt something, who are filled with fear and don't want to take the next step. And that's always a hard place to be, and taking that next step, you know, how important it is. So for you, I mean, just going back to the medical aid very, very quickly. So 15 years compared to 5 years, had the medical age changed when you had it 5 years ago? As you've said, it is increasing, it's rising in men. Was their approach different to the first time round?
It was. And a big component of that was, of course, having the lump for a year. That's one of the criteria for them as well, to pay for a lumpectomy. So yes, the second time around, they luckily did cover the operation.
Sure. Okay. So in terms of other treatments, you had it removed. You didn't have to go for any chemotherapy. I know you caught it very early. You didn't have to go for radiotherapy, any therapy, other therapy attached to it, any treatment, I beg your pardon, you didn't have to go for.
So I didn't, I didn't have to do chemo or radiation. That was spared, but I did do a lot of what we call integrative medicine treatments. So in the practice that I'm now working in, we did things like high dose vitamin C drips to make the cancer cells rust if there are any left. And also I looked at my hormones. So for me, because I have a genetic predisposition, my liver doesn't get rid of the xenoestrogens quickly enough. I do have things like broccoli sprout extract, which helps the liver to detoxify all these toxins so that they don't build up. So even though I didn't have the traditional chemo radiation, there was still a lot that we did and are still doing.
So CP, if you go back 15 years ago, how far were you on the journey of being a doctor of ethnomedicine, an integrative medicine practitioner, the neurolinguistics? Where were you in terms of that? Was it something you did after or during, before?
So I believe in not in chance. I was actually a legal business analyst at the time. And for me, the cancer was one of the biggest gifts I was ever given because it just opened my eyes to the need for people in a medical practice to be able to work with somebody who has traveled part of the journey themselves. Doctors are beautiful, doctors are lovely, but without having had it, they can't necessarily relate. So the cancer actually kickstarted my whole journey into integrative medicine and joining Dr. Golding in his practice.
So maybe you can just give us an idea. It's amazing. I just want to say, I mean, every week we speak to different cancer warriors and just the impact that cancer can have on a life. I mean, our next guest as well is just going out there and helping people. And so a lot of people use the word gift. I think there's some people who are finding that difficult to use that word, but for you to look back and see it as that because it really changed the trajectory of your life. So you've hinted at what you do, looking at your hormones and looking at genetics, because you say you've got this predisposition, and taking the right things, high doses of vitamin C. So what would happen if someone had to come to you, CP, if they have just been diagnosed with cancer? Why would they come and see an integrative doctor?
So, how we work in our practice, so Dr. Golding is a specialist physician. So he ran Rosebank's ICU for 8 years, and then he saw there's more to medicine than just putting plasters on people. And he then went to the States and studied further, including integrative oncology. So in our practice, people who come here oftentimes have a chemo has failed them, radiation has failed them, so they don't have anything else to do. We also get referrals from some of our oncologist colleagues who are open to the integrative route. Not everybody is, and that is okay. So people would come, they would see Dr. Golding for a full hour and look at options. So when I talk about integrative medicine, I need to also stress that it's not against chemo, radiation, or any other therapy. Integrative medicine says use whatever is going to work for the individual. So it's a very much individualized approach. And then we look at things like your genetics. How does your genetic makeup influence the medicine that you take? Or your food, all those things. So see Craig for an hour, and I always joke and say I'm his glorified translator, because doctors oftentimes speak a language that we don't understand, and they have limited time with the person. So an hour consult still isn't enough. So then I sit with people for an hour at least afterwards, and we go through line by line what he has scripted. And like I said, with the vitamin C, instead of saying it causes oxidation in cancer cells, I say it makes cancer cells rust. So it's for us, it's really important that the person understands the therapies that we are suggesting, because it's their body, it's their life. It's not just a therapy where you come and you stick out your arm and you say, you know, put a drip in me and make me better. You need to be an active participant in this whole journey. And so in the consultation with me, we go through things like diet, and we go through what for me is really important is mindset and spirituality as well. And spirituality, not linked to any religion. We work with whoever, but it is such an underestimated part of this whole journey.
Did you, for you, again, I keep bringing your experience,
yes,
because you spoke about using the integrative, you spoke about the drops, you spoke about that, and now you're talking about the mindset and spirituality. And I see that that's part of what you do. As you say, you're in service and you help with emotional counseling, mindfulness, life coaching, spiritual support. How did you apply that in your situation?
So for me, the spiritual aspect came up massively. I reconnected with my interpretation of God. And it's now a daily practice of just being thankful for being alive and being able to help people in the practice and hopefully outside of the practice with other things as well. But it really triggered an appreciation for life and for people in general, even if sometimes, you know, we can't all get along. So even if people rub you out the wrong way, there's still an appreciation for the fact that you have the opportunity to be rubbed up the wrong way. Life could have been over.
I remember interviewing someone a couple of months ago, actually, and I love the way she put it. It made me change the way I walk through my own garden or look at flowers. And she said that you talk about this gratitude and real gratitude for life and creation. And she spoke about looking at a flower and just, you know, gazing deeply into the beauty of the flower and the colors and the design and the intelligence of it and just the miracle of it. And as I said, I've always looked at flowers, you know, since then in kind of a different way, really intensely. So yeah. With you, CP, as you said, was a gift. It shifted. And now have gone and you've made all of these changes and you're going out and you're reaching and you're helping other people. So if people do come to you, and as you said, Dr. Golding then does all the bloods and looks at things and looks at the whole body and not just the cancer, looks at the genetics and everything that goes, you then sit with them and explain it to them. At what point would you start to talk about, you know, life coaching, even spiritual support, and how would you know whether that would be relevant with particular patients?
I start in the first session with me. Yeah. I ask people a very simple question. How are you doing emotionally? Get an answer. How are you doing spiritually? And then I also ask people about their food, if they are mindful before they eat, or if they bless their food or pray or whichever practice. And then that's an opening into asking, do you do the same with your medicine? And that opens the conversation. And if people then want to discuss it further, the option is there. So it's also not something that I force onto people. Some people are very, very guarded about their positions in life, and that's also fine. Something that I also wanted to mention is that this whole thing allows you to face the fact that one day you are going to die. And that is also a phenomenal opportunity to start living, and also to prepare for the day when you pass away. If people have children, I ask them, have you written down your the children's favorite recipes.
Hmm.
Because if you're not there in a year's time, how are they ever going to taste that food again? So it's not just a blind trust in, you know, life is going to happen. It offers the opportunity to prepare for when we do pass over as well.
And CP, do you find that you're getting more and more patients, cancer patients?
Yes. It's, you know, when a business is full, it's usually good news, but I don't like the fact that we are booked fully until April, May. We don't only see cancer patients in the practice, but we see so many more since COVID, and weird cancers and aggressive cancers in younger and younger people. It's quite scary.
And I mean, why? Well, I mean, people, everyone's got their own theories, but you've since COVID, I'm seeing weird things since COVID.
There are a lot of theories, and I don't think we can discuss all of the theories on radio, but there are things that happened since COVID where people's immune systems have been influenced and affected. And specific cancers do come up in immunocompromised patients, specifically esophagus and colon cancer. We're seeing a lot more of. It's an interesting phenomenon, and interesting just if you take out all the emotion, you know, there is still the analytical side that goes, this is different.
Yeah. And also so many immune illnesses seem to have also, looking around, and that also seems to be on the increase. So the next question, CP, would be if people would, you know, want to come and see you, are you covered by medical aid? Is it going to an integrative doctor? Is it covered? Yeah.
So because Dr. Golding is a specialist physician, medical aids do cover a portion of his consultation. He is, of course, we're not in a hospital, so it's a cash practice, but there is a portion that people can claim back. The unfortunate thing is many of the medicines, or most of the medicines that we use, will not be covered by the medical aids. And the reason for that is pure politics, because the medicines are handmade at a specialist pharmacy, and so they can't get what they call the NAPI codes. And without a NAPI code, they can't register the medicine for medical aid reimbursement. So it's the more people who are complaining about it, hopefully one day the law will change so that they can give NAPI codes. But at the moment, there isn't a lot that we can do from a therapeutic side that is covered. That being said, one of the things that I do help people with when they come to us is crowdfunding. If we write a letter for some of the crowdfunding websites, people can then set up a Backer Buddy or GoFundMe account, and that then helps them to get some of the therapies covered.
Yeah, that goes a long way. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you want to have the best kind of treatment that you can, and it's a wonderful thing that you can do this crowdfunding. I think it works absolutely amazingly. CP, what a story, you know, your personal journey, how you've taken it, what you do in the world, the fact that you're dealing with so many cancer patients, and we're looking at integrative medicine, and you said something that we often repeat on the show is taking control of your healing. I mean, we use the term over and over again. Before we say goodbye, was there anything else that you wanted to share with our audience?
So, on the point of taking control of your healing, for me, one of the most important things is making your own medicine and making something like a fermented food, like a kimchi or a kombucha, that can help your immune system. And this is just something very practical. If I make my own medicine and I am contributing to the healing, then I'm not just a bystander and trusting complete strangers with my life anymore. And the effect that this has on the mental side of a person is immense. So if you are going through this, make your own medicine and become a part of your therapy, not just a side rider.
I love that. So before we say goodbye, I want to just go a little bit further into this kumchi or whatever you called it. It's good for the gut. It's good for gut health, and good gut health means a stronger immune system. How do you, and I love that what you're saying, the act of actually creating your own is very powerful. So it's not as if you're making a medicine that's dangerous for you. This is a fermented whatever that you ingest it, you drink it, and it's outstanding for the gut. How do you make it very quickly? Is it difficult?
It's not. So one can Google the recipe. Kimchi is easy to make. It's quick. It takes about 2 weeks. The sauerkraut version, of course, takes 6 months. So for me, kimchi is fermented carrots and ginger and apple and cabbage. And it's a beautiful side dish to almost anything.
Oh, sounds quite delicious, kimchi. So I'm sure some of our listeners will be Googling that as we speak, but I really do love about being a part of, actively being part of your treatment, mind, body, soul, as you said. CP, thank you so much for joining us. Really been great. Just very quickly, the name of your practice, if people do want to get hold of you.
Sure. It is Dr. Craig Golding Medical Practice, and we're out here in Houghton Estate.
In Houghton Estate, just where a lot of our community are. Thank you so much, CP. Lovely having you on the show.
It was an honor being part of it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and goodbye. So, wow, there we have it again. You know, this idea of how important your mindset is, the way you see the world, your connection with your creator or the universe or nature around you, being an active participant in your treatment, how you heal yourself. And, you know, what I really extracted apart from many things was this making your own medicine. And I just want to stress that kimchi is not something that you would just take if you're sick. It's actually something you should take all the time because it's good for your gut and then your immune health. Kimchi, yummy, ginger and carrots and whatever else. I'm going to be Googling it. So I hope you got something out of this interview with Carl Pitt van Eerden. That is Dr. Craig Golding's practice in Houghton, and just looking at so many ways of going on this healing journey.